speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Today I want to begin with a question. Are you ready to die? I want us to understand what it is to begin with that I'm not asking. I'm not asking what do you think about death. I know that death is not a very popular subject. Most times people do not want to talk about death. They don't want to think about it. I'm not asking what do you think about death, and I'm also not asking do you want to die. Most of us admittedly do not want to die. What I am asking today is spiritually and biblically, are you ready to die? Life is important. And the life that we live today and the preparation that we make during the time that we are here will determine whether or not spiritually and biblically if we are ready to die. You know, as we think in regard to death, we need to understand that death is truly unavoidable. We live in an amazing age today from a medical standpoint to where that our medical technology and our doctors and nurses and staff, they understand what is necessary in order for us to give people a longer life. They encourage us to live healthy lives. They also are able to treat us when we have medical conditions going on that will prolong our life and also to give us a great quality of life during the extension of life. But still at the end, we need to understand that they are only able to do so much for so long, and yet at the same time, the statistics are in, one out of every one of us will someday die. We need to understand that. But also, we need to understand that death is really and truly unpredictable. Sometimes doctors, I think, will try to play God. Not always, but you will see some who will have patients who are diagnosed with heart disease or maybe with cancer or some other disease or sickness, and they will say, you have at most 6 months to live. And still, we know that there are certain circumstances, there are certain people who surpass the time frame in which the doctors will say, you have so long to live. Also, I've heard of instances where people have gone to the doctor and they've done a checkup with the doctor and the doctors say to them, you're as fit as a fiddle. You're as healthy as a horse. You're going to live a long life. And they go outside of the doctor's office and on their way home, they die of a heart attack or they die in an accident. The truth of the matter is we're not able to predict when a person will die. We're able to say without question that every one of us will die, but as to when death will take place, we are not given that. But what God tells us in regard to life is that it is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. From time to time, I have people ask me, Kevin, can you explain exactly what death is all about? Can you explain what death feels like, as if I've done that or something? Or can you explain from the biblical standpoint as to what people experience when they go through death? There are some people who claim to have had life or out-of-body experiences, and friends, I don't believe that. Whenever I have been with individuals who have passed on, and whenever they are really and truly pronounced dead, they are dead. And in that, I know that there is that time frame where that the heart might stop beating and we're able to revive them. But for all sense and purpose, whenever life passes outside of the body, those individuals are dead and they are not able to come back and to explain to us exactly what it is that they experienced in their death. They're not able to come back to us and to tell us if it was an easy passing or if it was something that was just terrible. We are not able to explain what death is. We will all go through it. But from this side of things, it's really unexplainable. And the Bible tells us that there are secret things that do belong to our God. also today I want us to bring out, and it's no surprise, death is usually undesirable. There are instances where people will go through pain and suffering and they will say, I just wish I could die. We've been studying from the book of Job, and Job had gotten to that point in his life, and yet at the same time, while people may get to that point in life, we need to understand is that suicide is not the answer. Suicide will indeed be condemned by God for those who do that from a rash standpoint, but yet at the same time, I know that there are some people who are not thinking in their mind, and in that I want to hand that over to God and to say that God will judge those individuals. As we look to people from a normal standpoint, death is undesirable. Why? Because we like life. We like to be able to connect with our daily lives, to go out and to work. There are blessings in that. We like to be able to go out and to enjoy life, and maybe to exercise or to go out and to enjoy our time with family and friends. We like our family and friends, and because of that, death is usually undesirable. But friends, when we think in regard to life and death and come to the realization as well as the acceptance that it is a reality, I did some research this week in regard to how people die, and there are four major reasons or ways that people die. Number one is murder. It's a shocking number as to the people who are murdered each year. In 1960, there were 9,110 murders in the United States. In 2013, that had risen to 14,196, and that's here in the United States. And it's estimated that this year, that number will be upwards of around 15,000 murders. A lot of innocent people or a lot of people had their lives taken by other individuals. Surprisingly, there are also a lot of souls who succumb to illness, sickness or illness. Well over 200,000, in fact, some estimates are into the millions as to individuals who die each year, in fact daily, due to sickness or illness. But also there needs to be the understanding is that a lot of people die each year as a result of accidents, car accidents, accidents at work and things of that nature. Here in the United States, one estimate said 100 plus thousand and another was up almost a million. People die as a result of accidents unexpectedly. They're physically fit, doing okay, but their life is taken accidentally. They were not expecting something to come about. But also, we understand is that a majority of the souls who die, die from what we term as natural causes. Worldwide, last year there was 54.9 million people died. Friends, if you take and calculate that out, that is 1.8 deaths every second. That's 107 deaths every minute. Death is a part of life. And it's happening all around us. In the time that we have started this lesson until this very minute, hundreds of people have died. Not from having heard the lesson, thank goodness. But they have died as a result of life here in this world. It is a part of our makeup. It is a part of what God identifies will indeed take place. And what is death? What takes place at the point of death? The Bible does give us some indication is that death leads to a departure from this life. It takes us away from being able to connect with others in this life. It takes us away from being able to do what man is able to enjoy during the time that we exist here in this world. But friends, also from those who survive, having lost loved ones, we know that it is a departure in regard to our loved ones. We are no longer able to be with those that we love. We're no longer able to enjoy the times that that we were blessed with during the time that they lived here. And for that reason, this morning, I also not only want us to understand that it is a departure, I want to encourage each and every one of us to value the time that we have with our loved ones, that we have with not only our family, but also with our friends, and to cherish those opportunities and to build every memory that we can possibly build with one another. Why? Because we may not have the rest of the day. We may not have tomorrow to spend with them. And therefore, we need to cherish those moments and to create the memories during the time frame in which we have. But also, the Bible identifies to us is that death results in a separation of the body and the soul. Whenever God created man, the soul is a part of our makeup. And the soul dwells within us during the time in which we are here. And therefore, they are inseparable while life is in mankind. But whenever death takes place, the Bible tells us very clearly is that they separate. The body, the flesh, returns to the ground from whence it came. God created mankind from the dust of the ground, and it's only fair and it's only right then that the body would return back to the ground. The Scripture tells us that that is indeed the process and that is the end, if you would, for the flesh. But the soul, as it separates from the body, it goes into what the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 and following, is the Hadean realm. For Christians, faithful members of the body of Christ, they go into paradise, wherein that they receive the comfort of the Lord. But those who are outside of Christ, or erring members of the church even, and those who are lost, the Bible tells us that they go into a state or a place of torment. And friends, in that, it serves as a place where that these souls wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also, though, we understand from a biblical standpoint is that death provides release for life's trials as well as life's temptations. Those who have passed on, they no longer have to worry about the things that they worried about while they were here in this world. They may have been struggling with finances. They may have been struggling to make ends meet, to put bread on the table, if you would, for their families. They no longer have to worry about that. But also, they may have been dealing with sickness or disease, and in death, that goes away. They no longer have that contention. They no longer have that as a part of their trial. But also, temptation. Temptation is a part of our life here. And whenever an individual passes from this life into eternity, whenever they die and are no longer here, friends, because they're no longer attached to this world, the temptation goes away. And for those of us who are Christians, what a great and joyful existence that will be to know that we will not face temptation on the other side. But also, today I want us to understand that the Bible makes it very clear that death seals the deal whenever it comes to where the soul will dwell eternally. There are no second chances after death. God is a God of love, and God is a God of mercy and grace. And God wants mankind to understand the seriousness of life while we are here, because after death takes place, there is no changing our state of eternal existence from that point forward. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." Why is today the day of salvation? Because there is no salvation in the grave. There is no salvation from the Hadean realm. Friends, if we are going to be counted as a child of God, if we are going to have our sins forgiven in Christ, it must take place during the time in which we have our life here. It must take time during the time in which we are here upon the face of this earth. The Bible tells us that whenever we stand before God, is that every single person will be in His presence. No one is going to be able to escape the judgment. There are things that we are able to get out of in life. We might have an appointment that gets us out of doing one thing that maybe we don't want to do, or maybe we'll even create something to get out of something that we don't want to do. several years ago, whenever I was getting ready to go to New Zealand, I had never been called to jury duty. And I found it interesting that when we were living in Pennsylvania, I received a notice in the mail that I was being called for jury duty. And wouldn't you know it, it was during the time that I was going to be gone to New Zealand. And I called the court system and I said, "Listen, I've already have something going on that day." They said, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "I'm going to be out of country. I'm going to New Zealand." They said, "Have you already bought your ticket?" I said, "I have." They said, "Oh, well, okay then. You will be excused from that." And I thought, "That's good. Never had to serve jury duty. I hope this doesn't make the television here and they now call me for jury duty." There are things we can get out of, things that we're able to avoid in this world. But friends, whenever it comes to standing before God in judgment, every single one of us will face Him in that day. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 through 12 says, "Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess." And in that day too, every aspect of our life will be revealed before God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 explains that everything is naked or revealed, evident in the sight of God. It's interesting in life is that Israel at some stages in their life, they felt as if God could not see them. And so many people still today live their life as if God cannot see them. And what really troubles me is whenever Christians try to live their life as if God cannot see them. And friends, the Bible tells us that God sees everything that we do in life. And there are things that man might have as secret. They're able to keep it from others, but still at the same time, the Bible tells us that even the secret things will be brought out in the day of judgment. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. God wants mankind to understand that He is aware of all of our life, and every aspect of our life, every facet of everything that we do will be brought forward as we stand before our God and our Creator. He will judge everything that we have said and everything that we have done in this life. Now, for Christians, what a blessing that is. Because we don't have to worry about the sin of past. Why? Because that has been removed, that has been covered, that has been washed away in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that reason then, whenever we stand before God in judgment, every faithful Christian will receive their crown. They will receive the reward. The Apostle Paul understood this as he was writing to Timothy, the young evangelist, as he wrote to him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Verse 8, he says, "A crown of righteousness has been laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me. But not only unto me, but unto all those who love His appearing." Paul says, "I have lived a faithful life. And because I have lived my life committed to God," he says, "that I know whenever I pass on from this life into the eternal abode, and whenever Christ returns then, and whenever I stand before God in judgment, He will give me that crown of righteousness, eternal life." And brethren, here's the blessings to you and me. He says, "Not unto me only, but unto all those who love His appearing." Who's those who love His appearing? Faithful members of the body of Christ will receive that crown whenever we stand before God in judgment. But on the other side of the coin, it's not so positive. Every lost soul will be doomed to an eternal hell, never to end. And the thing about hell is that's absence of the presence of God. The devil is there. The devil has run loose throughout the course of our lives here, trying and tempting us, hoping to draw us away from God. And yet at the same time, in a big picture point of view in regard to who controls the world, God is over the world, and therefore Satan's only limited to the power that God grants him. And therefore, we ought to, as Christians, say amen to that. We're grateful that He cannot have total rule or dominion over us, and that He is limited to just tempt us, and God then gives us the choice as to whether we're going to fall to that temptation or if we're going to rise to the calling that He gives us in Christ. But in hell, friends, Satan is in total control. In hell, that is his place. And he will be in charge, and largely in charge, in that day. The Bible identifies to us as that those individuals who are there, they will face hellfire and brimstone. And those individuals who are lost eternally, the Bible identifies to us as that they will be weeping. These will be in torment without end. And the life that we live today will determine in death where you and I will spend eternity. So I ask, are you ready to die? Are you really and truly ready to stand before God in judgment? How can you tell? Have you obeyed the Lord in scriptural baptism? There may be people here today who have come out of a denomination. Maybe you're visiting with us from a denomination and you have received a baptism, and yet at the same time that baptism is not in compliance to the baptism that is defined in Scripture. What is the baptism defined in Scripture? Water baptism. And not only water baptism, it's baptism by water by way of immersion, where an individual is buried with Christ in baptism and then they are raised to walk in newness of life. It's not sprinkling and pouring. It's not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But friends, it is baptism into a watery grave of baptism where that they are raised a new creation in Christ, forgiven of their sins. We're not baptized because we're saved, but rather we are baptized in order to receive God's forgiveness. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Have you obeyed Christ in scriptural baptism? If you have, there's a chance then that you are ready to die. But also if you have not, then you are certainly not ready to die. But also, do you as a Christian study the Bible each and every day of your life? And as you read and study from the Bible, do you read and study to show yourself approved unto God? Well, what does that mean? It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study or be diligent, the original language, to show yourself approved unto God. For a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are responsible before God to be able to understand His Word, and so that we're able to rightly divide it, to understand the concept as well as the reality, the fullness of what His message says about matters of salvation, about His plan of salvation, about matters of worship, about what it means to live for Christ. And not only to understand these things, that we would live a life that is approved before Him or accepted in His sight. And as you read and study the Bible on a daily basis, do you read just to be reading to fill your time? Or because you think it's commanded? Or do you read and study the Bible to show yourself approved before God? But friends, also, are you committed to the Lord's church? A lot of times people will say, "I want Christ, but I don't necessarily want the church." Others will say, "Well, yeah, I'm committed to the church. I'm there nearly every Sunday." Commitment to Christ means also commitment to the body of Christ. Jesus, whenever He was getting ready to die, He not only came to offer us a means of salvation, but friends, He also gave us the vessel of which we must be a part of in order for us then to be delivered up into the Father. The church is that vessel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the church began, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. How? Through baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." What's the significance of being added to the church? The church is the body of Christ. And friends, the Bible tells us through the words of the Apostle Paul that whenever the Lord returns, is that the Lord is going to deliver up the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, back unto the Father. And if we are not a part of the church, and if we are not committed to the Lord's church, to the level of which God requires us to be committed to Him, will we be amongst those who are handed back to the Father? It's that important. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Are you seeking first the kingdom in your life? And if not, why not? And then today, we ask as we close, if you're not ready to die, will you surrender your life to God today? Surrender means that you realize that you need God in your life. Surrender means I've been trying to control my life all my existence here to this point, and I know it's not working for me. And I know it will never work for me. And therefore, I love God and I want to give my life over to God fully, 100%. If you're willing to surrender to God, God is willing to accept you as you would confess Christ to be the Son of God and submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Maybe also we have an erring Christian here, or maybe many, who are not ready to die, but they want so much to be ready. That invitation is open to you also.